you want to give me the ski poles? I gently asked her. She responded, no, Daddy, with confidence and determination. And as we made our way around that mountain trail, my three-year-old daughter at the time, and my son, and my wife, we were snowshoeing, and there was trouble everywhere, right? The trail was snow-packed and icy, and so at any moment, you know that we could have slipped and fell, bumps and bruises, and crying and wailing and complaining, you know how this goes. But off the trail was also trouble, because there was about a 6-foot drop. So, not a drop, but unpacked snow that would just leave a three-year-old covered in the snow, right? And so, trouble. So she kept making her next step, but I knew that she would fall and it'd be inevitable. And so, every time she fell, I remember picking her up, dusting off that bulging snowsuit of hers, and putting her right back on the trail. So, that's all I did for this whole morning. Picked her up, dusted her off, put her back on the trail. And I said to her at one point, should we take a break now? No, Daddy! So we kept on this trail. And then we made this turn on the trail. And just the tip of her snowshoe, the metal cleat, sort of caught the snowy ice. And she fell face first on the snow. So I picked her up, I dusted her off, I put her on the trail. This time. This time she looked back at me with that flushed red face and these huge tears falling down her eyes. And I said to her, is it time for me to carry you? No, Daddy! And so we kept on that trail, and it was my turn as I watched her determination to shed some tears because of my daughter not wanting to stop on this trail. And we reached this part, this little opening to the trail. And as we reached this opening, she quietly, and I was able to walk alongside her, and she quietly handed me her ski poles, and then she handed me her gloves, and then she just stuck out her hand like this. Like every daddy knows what she needed right there. And so maybe you've been snowshoeing, but maybe you've never snowshoeing in your life, but you've been on that trail. You've faced the troubles inside of you and outside of you that have shaken you up. And every one of us has had to ask that question when we're on that trail and we're shaken up. How are we going to move forward? We all have to decide, will we complain? Will we quit? Will we be determined like my daughter? Will we let someone else lead? Will we kind of stay back and rest and figure out how this thing could go? We all are on the trail with troubles and shakeups around us, and we have to decide, how are we going to move forward? What's going to be our next best step? And so I remember every time I picked her up, I literally felt her heartbeat. And I felt her, when she was shaken up, when she fell and I picked her up, her heart was beating like wild, right? Like the sense of trouble was near her and she had this offbeat heart. But then when I set her down, by the time I asked her the question, I felt in her tone that her heart was steady. Right? She went from the shaken up heart to the steady heart. And I marveled because I was like, this is like one of those moments where we have something to learn from with our family, right? How, in this very same moment, can she go from the shaken up heart to the steady heart? And I think that's the question of all of our lives. How do we find that sense of steadying power in the midst of all the shakeups? So where can we find it? Where do we look for it? And Jesus, across time and history, says this remarkable, marvelous thing that everyone of us should be like, wow. He says, in this world, you will have trouble, right? And the whole church says, amen, right? This is a world filled with trouble. Truth coming at you from the mouth of Jesus. And this sense of trouble resonates with all of us, right? Whether we're on the trail or in our life. But this trouble has this sense of internalness to it and this external. We have this sense that we're always asking ourselves, do I have what it takes? And this external sense of like, what is the world going to throw at me next? And so trouble can be defined externally as this distress, this oppression that comes from outside, this affliction, or even the Bible uses the word tribulation, right? But trouble can also be internal. And it can be this inward turmoil, this stirring up, this disturbed unsettledness, to be thrown in the spirit of your soul into confusion. And we've all experienced that, right? questions of our own inadequacy and our own insecurities, our own unworth in this world. And so when you take the internal and the external together, it's very simple. Life is going to shake you up. And so Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, and we can all add, life is going to shake you up, right? Be ready. Be prepared. This is what it means to be human. And so we experience these shakeups in misfortune. Maybe your 401k did not yield the results you hoped. Maybe there was a buyout in your company and the job you thought was so steady evaporated, right? Maybe you were in a job and it just wasn't, the direction the company meant wasn't what you thought it was going to be. Shakeup after shakeup. And then there's those really tough shakeups, right? Where you lose a friend or a loved one. Maybe they moved away or maybe they died. Your life is shaken up by misfortune. Maybe there's rain and snow and hurricanes that destroy your house and unsettle you in ways you've never experienced before. And then there's shakeups of the mundane, right? Every one of us experiences that monotonous activity of our jobs or of our life, that sense of like, I'm doing the same thing over and over and over. But the problem with the mundane is when it gets to a point where you are literally going crazy, not being the person you want to be to your family and your life, you know a change has to happen. You are in a troubling shakeup of your soul, and you don't, all you need to know is how to take that next best step. And then there's shakeups in mystery. This is the one of kind of awe and wonder, right? When we encounter a new person that comes into our life, and we're not sure what to make of it, we have no idea where this relationship is going. And then there's the mystery of new ideas, right? There's a sense of like, you learn something new, you hear something new, but this idea, this could change everything you once thought about your life and where you're headed and who you are. So there's shakeups in the misfortune, the mundane, and the mysterious. And sometimes, have you all experienced this shakeup somewhere in your life before? And sometimes you feel like that soy can spraying everywhere. And sometimes you feel like that dirty dust up on the floor on that old country road with the pickup truck. You're just thrown everywhere and everything feels unsettled, insecure. And sometimes, are you with me? This is my favorite one. Sometimes when you search all morning for that perfect fishing hole and you're just about ready, you can taste the trout in your mouth, freshly cooked on your fire afterward, and then all of a sudden a motorboat comes by. And they wave and are completely hospitable, but it stirs the water and everything around it. There'll be no fishing for this morning, right? Your peace is disturbed. The shakeup that we all experience. And it's fascinating to me that in the Gospel of John, chapter 13 through 17, the Gospel invites us to slow down. And from chapter 1 to 12, there's been all this fascinating action. All this shaking up. Water was turned into wine, and that's pretty cool. But then, there were some other miracles that a blind man receives his sight, right? There's the mother of Jesus initiates these miracles. There's a Samaritan woman who speaks up. There's a Nicodemus, a religious leader who experiences the shakeup in his own life. But then we get to 13 and we know what's going to happen, right? We all know the story leads in death. And so Jesus is with his closest followers, and the gospel invites us to be in that room too. And so the language is slow. The language is intimate. The language invites each and every one of us to think deeper thoughts and to pray long prayers. And it's often not easy what is said in these dialogues. And Jesus says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Now, if you've been following me so far, and if you come to this with the honest gut of your heart, you're like, what is going on in this passage, right? Jesus has told us we're now in a lot of trouble, and now he's saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. And so if you're really honest here, like I know all of you are, you're saying, wait, hold on. Did I just hear that right? This is a divine paradox, right? There's going to be a lot of trouble, but don't let your hearts be troubled, right? It's like, thank you, not very helpful, right? And so we approach it and we say, what is going on? And that's exactly what the gospel passage is designed to do. For us to ask questions, for us to say, what is going on here? And one of you is bold and courageous, and you say, how could this be? From the moment our lives began, there have been shakeups, and now you're telling us that we shouldn't be troubled by your death and departure from us. How can we possibly not have troubled hearts in this world? And then Jesus answers, right? And it's one of those answers you have to think about. about. You have to unpack it, work through slowly. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. He abides among you, and he will be in you. And so, we have to work slowly and look at this. It's another one of our metaphors, right? The wild goose that we've been talking about, metaphors of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us the Holy Spirit is like an advocate. An advocate in the ancient world is someone who walked beside you. And so this advocate, it uses these incredible prepositions, these words of relational closeness. This is the one who is with us and among us and in us, right? So this advocate is the one that's close, as close as the air we breathe. It's the one who, although we like to scientifically figure out how we can measure it and contain it, it's the one that's uncontainable. It's the Spirit among us that we can't quite put words to. It's like an advocate. The Holy Spirit, when all else is going wrong, when we're facing the shakeups, the Holy Spirit comes to us as someone who's standing beside us, saying, you're going to make it. You can do this. This is not the end. And then the advocate also made the world as someone who was an encourager, someone who comforted, who consoled, who teach, who guide, who reminds. And so we have the trouble and the shakeups, right? And then, so we have the reality of this world, and at the very same time, in the midst of those realities, we have this Holy Spirit advocate who's going to steady us. So the Holy Spirit steadies our hearts in the midst of the inevitable shakeups of the world. Every time you are shaken up, the Spirit is there to steady you, to stir you, to fix your heart on something that's more and better. So that language is so important for us. This is the Spirit who is with us and among us and in us. This is the Spirit that is at work underneath all the surface of our life. At the very same moment where we face trouble and hardship and pain and the shakeup, there the Spirit is breathing life into us. The Holy Spirit is like an advocate who is forever steadying us in the midst of life's shakeups. So later that night, we finished our snowshoeing adventure and we're sitting at a table together and Stacy made us homemade hot chocolate with marshmallows. And Stacy says to me, you were a good daddy. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, you know, the way you like encourage diarrhea and help you to quit. And I said, that's not how I understood the situation at all. Every time my daughter said, no, Daddy, I knew that I couldn't quit. I knew that there was no choice for me to keep on this trail. And every time my son jumped off the trail and flailed himself onto the snowbanks, I knew there'd be no quitting here. And every time Stacy would show us a beautiful tree or point out this bird, I knew that I couldn't go home. I knew that I was committed to the trail. I knew that there was a Spirit, the advocate, with us and among us and in us. And I know that this Spirit who's with us and among us and in us lives at my heart. I've heard it in the tone of your voice. It's at that moment where you feel that shakeup. All of a sudden there is this Spirit, this advocate standing beside you, telling you you're going to make it. This is not the end. You can take the next best step. Yeah.